welcome back to the latest episode of the CJ Tour Podcast. I'm your host, Calvin Glenn Alexander. And tonight, I'm joined by Diana Sleep, which I'm going to pull up your whole LinkedIn profile here. Just make sure I get this right.
Nice.
The Senior Manager, Corporate and Premium Sales for the Olympics and Paralympics at On Location. Get that?
Nailed it. You did amazing. Good job.
Thanks so much. Yeah. I do have some news for everyone as well, too. It's the first podcast I've done where I no longer work for the Chargers anymore. So...
Let's hear it. Come on, tell the people. I'm a ticket sales manager
for the USFL in Birmingham for 4 months or plus. We'll see.
Amazing.
So,
congratulations.
Thanks so much. Yeah.
How does it feel? How does it feel to kind of announce it?
It feels good. It feels weird at the same point, though. Because, like, at some point I was like, oh, I'll be like, you know, I'll be 30 and I'll at some point, like, get to be a manager or whatever. And I now get to say that when I'm 29. So it's nice.
Amazing. Congrats. Yeah.
Thanks.
You're like one-upping yourself and your own goals.
Yeah, I had to set a list.
When does the new opportunity start for you?
Today.
Oh, literally today.
Today was my first full day.
And you made you.
March
you didn't
1.
Quit.
No, still going. Still going strong.
Well, congrats. That's awesome.
Thanks so much. Yeah. Awesome.
Well deserved too.
Thank you. You remember
these moments too. Your first day, you know, at a new opportunity. A couple weeks in, you'll be like, man, I'm already a couple weeks in. You blink. It's a year, and then a couple years in, you're like, time flies. You'll think of those first days. So.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, the weirdest part will be moving away from this apartment mainly.
Yeah.
I mean, got an ocean view looking out at. Like, that'll be tough, but...
It'll be tough.
I told both roommates they can't leave. I told Nana and David, it's like, you can't move before I come back.
I don't think they will.
No. I don't think they will either. No.
I think you'll always have a crash pad back here.
Exactly, yeah.
You'll always have the memories of living in a place... this beautiful, and then every new place you move to will have its own story for you to write. So
exactly, yeah, yeah. Nothing's gonna be just the same as this.
No,
but also, I could pay a little less in rent. Like I'm okay with the rent price going down a little bit.
You will be paying yourself quite a bit more. So I do envy you a little bit in that. But yeah, you have a whole new adventure ahead of you. So it's exciting.
No, thanks.
Congrats
yeah.
again.
But part of that too is that I want to start kind of more of a podcast series of bringing on people that I know within the sports industry.
Right.
And asking those like yourself here how you got to start in sports. Because I think at the end of the day, that's like the biggest question I hear from like current students that I've like worked with at Oklahoma State, mentor, or just know period on LinkedIn of, okay, so how'd you get your job? You know, like, so how did... So maybe you can run us through like the abbreviated and we can get into it a little bit, but like, how did you get to, I mean, working for the Olympics, like that's the coolest thing I would think anyone does.
Thank you.
Getting to go to France, like on a business trip, like
Perry,
right?
I agree. I have to agree with you. And it's been an amazing journey. It's been an amazing ride. And I think a lot of our stories can be lengthy. They're complex on how we all got to where we are today. So I'll try to keep it fairly brief. But my career in sports actually began in college. I went to Arizona State University. For those who don't know, half of Major League Baseball spring training takes place in Arizona. It's called the Cactus League. And then the other half go and play in Florida. It's the Grapefruit League. Don't need to tell you that. But it's a great opportunity. The teams come out there. They play a full month of games. And it really kind of runs like a Major League season, but it's crushed into like 30 days of straight action. But it's great for the fans. They're full on games. They're sponsors. It's the real deal. So I was able to tap into that actually while I was in school. And I got an unpaid internship out at actually the San Diego Padres facility in Peoria, Arizona. And ironically, I didn't even have a car at the time. So do you know what Zipcar is?
Yeah, well, I've heard of that. That's where you like borrow a car from somebody?
You pay by the hour. You pay by the mile. Okay. I didn't have a car. So... Mom and Dad helped fund the zip cars. So they actually say that that is the internship that they paid for. I was riding in a zip car to and fro for my unpaid internship during spring training my freshman year, but it wasn't glamorous. You know, you're chucking t-shirts into the outfield. You're, you know, asking customers questions, doing interviews. But that was my first internship in sports. It led to another one my sophomore year in college, then a third one my junior year, which actually turned into a full-time role with the Dodgers at their spring training facility. So I worked under the marketing and corporate partnerships team and actually was able to take over for my boss there and kind of run my own group of promo interns for a little bit. Great exposure to major league teams, their staff, you know, their corporate partnership partnerships teams as well. They're Major League Baseball teams, so amazing exposure. And then I could go back to school and, you know, kind of finish my classes for the day. So I was really lucky that worked out, and I was able to get my degree and at the same time get some sports experience. And that ultimately led to my next career move, which was, believe it or not, in minor league baseball. I looked out there and went, I mean, if Major League Baseball isn't as feasible, there's a ton of these minor league and farm system teams. So I went and worked in Memphis, Tennessee. I worked for the St. Louis Cardinals AAA team, the Memphis Redbirds.
Yeah.
Don't know if you've heard of them. I worked at AutoZone Park. I worked as a marketing assistant out there, helped with everything from, again, the promotions team and the sponsorship side. And then during the games, I actually worked in the control room, believe it or not, and ran sponsor paid content on the video board. So pressing buttons, I had a game script, you know, one wrong button and all of a sudden the other team won the game. So that's a lot of pressure, but did that for about a season, then ended up getting hired by the Astros and went and worked for their minor league team down in South Texas for a couple of years. Went up to the big club in 17, actually got a ring with the Astros, again, nice. Working in corporate partnerships. Worked my way out west to work for the Angels. Made a little bit of a department switch. I went from the corporate partnership side to the premium side. So I sold suite licenses, that sort of thing, for about a year. And then COVID happened. Took quite a toll on everybody's industry, but of course sports. A little hard to sell tickets when fans can't.
Yeah, hard to be in group sales, you know, during COVID. Hard to be like in sales in general during COVID, right?
When they can't come to your facility or your venue. That year we said we put the fun in refund all day long. So we did a lot of that during 2020, but ultimately actually ended up kind of pivoting, finding a new role in golf. Golf was one of the sports that you could actually play, kind of get away with in 2020, and it was like booming in popularity. So I ended up getting hired by Legends. Ever heard of it?
I have quite frequently now.
You know, you're familiar. Hired by Legends and assigned to the U.S. Open project out here in Los Angeles. So sold premium for the U.S. Open for the last couple of years. And then just this past September, actually left that role for this Olympics project and sell premium again, but for the next three Olympic Games. So Paris 2024, Milan, Italy, Winter Games 26, and L.A. 2028. So that was supposed to be a really short version.
No. I mean that's kind of the abbreviated part of it, though, because like
7-8 years, you know, it's how it all comes together. But it's never if it's linear, your career path to sports, I'm like, I don't know how you did that, but it's usually a hop, skip, and a jump all around the globe.
Exactly. Well, like, I mean, I started working in sports too. In like 2013. Or, I mean, if we want to go back to, like, when I first volunteered for, like, a run that got me my internship, then Then it's, like, 06 when I was in sixth grade.
That's it.
You know what I mean? It's just, you can go how far back you want to, right?
No, like, it's true.
I was carrying boxes of T-shirts and handing out T-shirts at the Remember the Run in Stillwater when I was, like, I mean, it's literally in sixth grade until I was doing it last year. You know, I mean, it flew out.
That's right.
You never knew who was around, right?
Exactly.
Make an impression on the athletic department marketing guide. And then, you know, all of a sudden you're in college and she's like, why don't you come intern? I'm like, that's a thing? You can intern with the game day promotions? What?
Isn't that key to you learn as you go, these roles that exist? And isn't it? Yeah. You don't know until you go give it a try. So sixth grade, passing out t-shirts.
Yeah, for sure. Now, my dad did like found the run. Not a lot of other like sixth graders were going to be out there like handing out t-shirts.
You didn't necessarily go seek that opportunity, but
I wish I could say I did, but I have to be honest. Yeah, no, I was, you know, but I was definitely like frequently around campus, was doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Always like wanted to be helpful, help my dad out with whatever it was. Good. And then I saw that internship, even though it was unpaid. Still technically is, I think to this day, I was like, oh, this is an opportunity. You know, like this gives me a chance to like, okay, cool. Like I'm working for Oklahoma State. Like this is college I want to go to since day one.
Neat.
So yeah.
You got your in.
Exactly.
Amazing. Exactly. Yeah. So that's where it began for you too. Kind of in college. It's really where you got to immerse yourself, get like a full on, you know, team experience, school experience. And then.
Yeah. So I ended up doing like several things at Oklahoma State from being like the DJ for basketball and wrestling. Flex. And then for 6 months I was the on-court host.
No way.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's for 1 month it was men's basketball, but like the other 6 months was like women's basketball. Okay. So, hey, I've got Diana Sleep. She's going to shoot the half court shot, you know, really getting all the announcer voice.
Got it. Yeah. Okay. This all makes perfect sense.
Oh yeah.
That's where you really got
it's kind of, I was doing public address announcing for all softball games.
Oh, cool. Cool.
Yeah. So wow. It was great. I didn't do like the best job ever, but no one ever does. No, like what's your first,
yeah,
like,
you don't...
I did it for 3 years. By the third year, I was doing all right.
Can I ask you a really weird question?
Of course.
At the beginning of kind of your announcing stage, did you ever hear your voice and cringe?
Oh, for sure. Like, I still
feel that with my own voicemails and stuff like that. I'm like, oh no, that's not how I wanted to sound at all.
Oh, I still like have some of the podcasts that I've taken down, and I'll go back at some point and I'll be like, wait, what is this? Or like, I'll be flipping through to shuffle like every single thing that's on my iPhone song wise, and I'll pop it and I'll go, you're now listening to it. I'm like, oh no, god damn it. No, like... no. Where is this from? Is this untitled track? Like, I got to switch this up.
We're
like,
all our biggest critic.
But... oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, if you're not, then like, you know, someone else got onto you. That's the issue. But
agreed.
Yeah, I would say at the time, it was a bunch of people telling me, you have a great voice. And I was like, oh, cool. Thanks. Mm-hmm. You know, and then all of a sudden, like something later on worked out where it's like, hey, Calvin, have you ever done like announcing? I was like, no, why?
No. Yeah.
Well, we just had someone get sick, and that's always how it happens. Mm-hmm. Somebody like
had
a family, like, and that's unfortunate. Like, somebody got sick, but then like I did two games. Mm-hmm. The guy came back from being sick. He did the rest of the season, then he graduated. Like, I didn't take his job from him because he was sick. Right. So I can feel good about that.
That's how Major League Baseball players get their
That's
opportunity sometimes. Yeah. That's why we have AAA.
I was putting more time in. You know, I was really just rehearsing all of these softball names. I was looking over the pronunciation guide and being like, it's Cavan, not Caven. Oh, no, it's Caven. All right, no.
Hey, that's great. You were the guy for the job of the opportunity presented itself.
Exactly, yeah. And so then, throughout college, I mean, I added on a degree to get a sports media degree. Gave me 2 extra years at OSU, which I wish I graduated a little bit earlier, but hindsight's 2020. Everything happens for reasons. It's all good.
Absolutely.
But got to intern for the Oklahoma City Thunder. And, I mean, I drove 500 miles a week, which everyone thought was crazy. But
brutal.
But here, like, telling people that's, like, that's insane. Mm-hmm. Because 30 miles can be 3 hours here.
Yeah, if it was time, that's...
But when I say 500 miles, it's because that's the more, like, oh, that's the crazier part
of
it.
Right.
Like, oh, I drove, like, a total of 10 hours. It's like
distance.
Oh, well, 10 hours, but 500 miles is, like, yeah, I was... I mean, it doesn't exactly map out that way.
Right.
But, I mean, the point being is, like, I was going 70 miles an hour on every highway, going 60 miles.
Amazing.
Like, it's Oklahoma. Yeah, so, like it's not really that much traffic.
Yeah. No, good for you. Well,
yeah.
Like, cool journey for you as well.
Very cool. Thanks. Yeah. No. Yeah. I mean, Oklahoma City all the way to here.
There you go.
So, and then now, Alabama. Now back. So, yeah.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool, Calvin.
No, thanks. Thanks. Yeah. So, but would you say, like, your passion is? Because at the end of the day, like...
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited to, like, go to work every single day. I think most people are. But then again, like, we are in sales.
Right.
So you have to have that different type of energy level every single day, too.
Absolutely. So, like, what gets me out of bed every day?
Yeah, exactly.
What motivates me? Honestly, it is probably the people that I... Not just my customers and my clientele, but they're a big part of it. It's also the people and the entity I work for and get to represent. We're really lucky that, you know, we get to represent these sports properties. And then the product that we get to sell and deliver, it's very unique. And people are excited about it. You know, that's why they call. That's why they visit our websites. That's why they, you know, are excited to have on their calendar a call with somebody that's from the Football League, that's from the Olympics, that's from the USGA, that's from Legends with Chargers. Like, they're excited to take your call. You might be the conversation they're looking forward to the most that day, because what you may have to offer them is going to be such a unique experience and something that they're really looking forward to, or they don't know about yet, but they're excited about. So I know that our customers are enthusiastic, and I got to meet them with that enthusiasm and convey the value of our product. And that actually really fires me up. I like love talking to new people and telling them about, you know, what we are going to be doing in Paris for the Olympics. I'm excited about that. I want them to feel that, you know, through our call, through our video calls or in-person meetings. So that really gets me excited. And also being able to be a part of where the games are going to be in Paris and really seeing a picture of how this event's going to take place. I mean, I know what that looks like, and that gets me excited. So that drives me to wake up every day excited to do what I get to do. And then also, I mean, you can probably speak to this as well. We both have some experience at the same company. The people that you work with can really motivate you and make or break a workplace. But I love waking up and kind of getting to chop it up with my teammates and, you know, the leaders at our organization. And that really gets me going too. So we're really lucky.
Oh, we are for sure. And I cannot say more about like how the teammates I work with, like one of my roommates. I mean, just getting to work with great people who are like really interested in working in sports. It's just kind of, and also like we're the people who are actually getting the people out there.
Totally.
Right. Like it's, there's no middleman at the end of the day. Like it's not like, oh, everyone buys their tickets on Ticketmaster or something. It's like, no, like I helped you get to the stadium.
Right.
I helped sell your seat.
Right.
So.
Do you ever have pinch me moments where you kind of have to go, wait, well, this is what I do for a living?
Oh yeah. I mean, I never want to talk bad about it, like a former team that I worked for, but like there's a difference between working for the NFL on the first game of the season, first game that's played in SoFi Stadium,
right?
Period, regular season. It's the Dallas Cowboys who I grew up rooting for in Oklahoma.
Amazing.
Get to play the Los Angeles Chargers. Like that was definitely like a holy cow, what in the world? Like this is crazy.
I'm getting paid to do this.
Yeah. Because like with the Padres when I started, opening day had already passed, so it wasn't a bunch of pageantry.
Yeah.
But then like when opening day came next year, it was like, okay, so this is the coolest thing by far and away. And then with the Pistons, it was opening night when I worked for them too. That, I mean, those are like those are the coolest things by far, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sure. Couldn't agree more.
2024 Olympic opening ceremony. That'll be.
It's going to be insane. It's never been done on the water before. So it's essentially going to be like a boat parade down the Seine River in the heart of Paris. So, I mean, even the renderings of it, kudos to our graphic designer for doing the best they can to paint what that picture is going to look like. But over 10,000 athletes distributed on various boats. Also a program, because, you know, opening ceremonies has its own dance component and performances and musical numbers and whatnot. And then they weave into that this introduction of all the athletes that are going to be in the game. So, I mean, when I say a ton of planning, I mean a billion details go into this production and just the security detail alone. And influx, outflux of thousands and thousands of people to these hospitality areas and grandstands. It is going to take a ton of work, but it's going to be, whether it ever happens again, we don't know. You know, it could be, it really is going to be a once in a lifetime opportunity. And we had the opportunity as a sales team to go, we went to the Seine River, we did a walking tour, like a 3-mile walking tour around the Seine to really get a sense of what the parade route's going to be like. And just being there and being walking across the bridges and kind of looking down and seeing the boats and the barges, it just getting a picture in my head too of how it's going to be. For folks that are watching it on TV, obviously that's still going to be amazing, but to be there and be on site with probably 600,000 people, honestly, on site, it's just going to be spectacular. It'll be like, I'm already anticipating it will be one of those moments I will never forget for the rest of my life. So
take a couple photos, you know, really enjoy it, right? Like, you know,
put the phone away for a little bit, take a few, and then dash it.
But, yeah, then maybe, you know, don't want to be like everyone watched the LeBron James when he hit the point record shot on their phone. I was like, yeah, but like I would have been doing the same thing. Like I would have had my phone out. I would have wanted to take a photo. You know what I mean?
Point.
Like that would have been it.
And I love it too, because you're all getting the same shot. Like,
oh yeah.
is your, you know, 10-second Insta story going to be any better than Jimmy's next to your, you know what I mean? Like, it cracks me up. I do it too. I'd be guilty of it. Look at me. Like, look at
this. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's like, this is the coolest thing I'm doing today or this week or this month or year or whatever. Like,
right.
I want to take a video of it. I want to remember it.
I know. I get it. I totally get it.
But... and also, like, I want to shout it out and show everyone else up that, like, oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, this is the coolest thing by far.
Whatever. I was there. Totally agree.
Well, but on that note here, like, both of us have traveled distance to get to LA.
Yeah.
But I also hear lunch between Oklahoma State students and other, you know, I hear from Arizona State students as well too. Like, okay, how'd you get there? So like, how did you choose, I want to work in this arm of the sports industry versus others?
Yeah, great question. And we touched on it a little bit earlier, but a lot of it is roles and opportunities that you find out once you get in there. So it's a lot of it's about saying yes to something that maybe you're not sure about, or doing the unpaid internship and, you know, driving as far as you did, or having your parents help you out with a little rental car for a month and taking a little chance. Cause you don't know everything, but the experience no one can take away from you. So once you get in there, you start to really learn about what other opportunities are available, what other jobs exist. You won't know unless you get in there. Particularly what I found in minor league baseball, you know, these jobs don't pay much and they're a little lower profile than working for a major league team. But what's so great about my minor league baseball experience was you had the opportunity to wear a lot of hats, dip your toes into a couple different departments, whatever you were interested in. You know, usually you were given the opportunity to go explore it or go lend a helping hand, whether that was in the control room, running Daktronics on the video board. I learned quickly, not for me. You know, I learned that I have a lot of respect for that department, but that just was not going to be my specialty. But I'm glad I went to go check it out. And thank goodness for organizations and roles that let you explore other departments, because even my second role when I was down with the Astros in Texas, that was where I really was given my first opportunity to sell. And having like an organization believe in you and give you that chance, that was when I found out, hey, I like sales, and more importantly, I'm actually pretty good at this. And you kind of find out skills about yourself. So I would say kind of my long-winded answer is go for it. Give opportunities a chance. You're not going to know all the answers from the jump. So give it a try. You'll find out about roles and avenues that could exist for you as far as a career path is concerned when you get in there. I'm sure you found the same thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember being in the sports management club at Oklahoma State and then going, smart. Oh, no, I want to work in marketing. Like, I want to do marketing. I want to make flyers, or I want to be on air.
Okay, yeah.
Like, all right, like, it's going to be one of those two. I never want to be in sales. I could never be in sales.
I'm not going to cold call.
And then one of my managers from Oklahoma State interns was like, hey, you know what? The Oklahoma City Thunder are hiring for a ticket sales associate. Yeah. You do surveys on game nights. You get to go work the games. They'll pay you to work there.
Right.
And you get to go hang out at the game afterwards. Amazing. Like, do you want to apply? And I was like, yeah, that sounds awesome. Like, why not? And then ended up like maybe figuring out someone to carpool with and all type of stuff too, just so it wasn't like that taxing of a driving distance, all type of stuff.
Hey, good for you.
And then once I got in there and met a lot of the people that worked there, I was like, oh, all these people are very passionate about working in sports. Right. We align a lot of the same. And then also I just was like, you know what, at the end of the day, shout out to everyone who works in a different side of this, but this is what I connected with. This is where I was like, I get to use my voice on the phone every single day, and you're going to hire 10 of us every year.
Right.
It's not like I have a 1 in 500 shot
at
getting this. Now, there are a ton of people who have a tough time getting in the sports industry. It's very hard to do so, and that's part of it is, you know, it's long hours, it's low pay, especially when you start, but if you can see the next steps, right? If you can kind of treat it like, for me, that first year of inside sales was more of a, oh, this is like a GA. This is like, I'm a graduate assistant for a year. Need to understand that I'm not going to graduate and automatically make a couple figures or whatever it may be, because I'm not an engineering major. But also at the same point, like, I worked hard and like worked a lot of hours, but I wasn't in the library on the weekends. Right. You know, like, I was like working a game on the weekends. Exactly. I was having like, oh, cool, like, I'm like dropping parachutes of pizza boxes from the roof. You know, that was what I was doing.
At an NBA basketball game too.
Exactly, yeah.
It could be worse places to be.
Oh, for sure.
To be making lower wages. And at the end of the day too, did you discover, like I did, it kind of becomes apparent the more and more you work in sports, but you kind of look around and go, okay, this place operates like a major business would. And wow, how about that? They have, just like Oracle would have a marketing department, a sales department, HR, and, you know, obviously massive sales team. You're like, okay, this is functioning like a normal, this makes a lot of sense. I get why these departments work together. And it's kind of interesting the way you find that out, the way you work your way into sports.
Oh, for sure. I remember getting basically told, hey, can you keep it down? Like, the accounting department's trying to like work while you're like having lunch in here at 1:05 or something. I'm like, oh, so sorry. Then later on, I get an email like, can't use the microwave anymore. Thanks, Calvin. I'm like, all right. I was too loud in the lunchroom.
Oh, they have an accounting department here.
Like, there are people who are not just like yelling at each other on the phone
because
the person next to them is also talking to someone on the phone.
Exactly.
Like need to kind of learn how to be a little quiet,
So it can be a rambunctious atmosphere,
That'd be my advice for anyone. It's just, you know, just kind of like understand situational awareness is a big thing. Once you get out of college, you're like no longer just going to be just going, oh, yeah, let me throw you the T-shirt from 5 miles away.
It's like,
oh, hang on. So sorry. Yep, I'm walking back to stage R again. Got to be keeping it down.
Right, like back into business mode.
Exactly. Went to like, you know, a couple of forums, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm talking with salespeople all the time. Then I talked to my dad today on the phone. I was like, yeah, no, that's definitely on the agenda for later this week. I'll make sure to keep it in the pipeline. And my dad's like, okay, sounds good.
Dad, I'm really busy. Maybe like throw some time on my calendar Thursday.
Let me use the scheduling system feature and see when you're free and I'm free as well. We'll work through this.
We'll set something up.
Yeah. Did you want a virtual tour of the, you know, And it's all like, oh, wait a second. Like, I need to remind myself, oh, I just talked about sales for like three days in a row.
Yeah.
Maybe need to just chill out a little
bit. Unplug it. Yeah. I totally know what you mean.
Kind of hang out a little bit.
That's funny.
But on the advice front, what would your advice be to like people, like students currently in college, juniors or seniors, or those who've just graduated?
Yeah. And I would offer it to basically everybody in college, whether you're a freshman or a senior. I think take advantage right away. I think everybody says networking, but I think to dive a little deeper, I think what's important about networking is finding mentors early on, connect right away. And by mentors, I mean somebody that you aspire to, you see them doing or conducting their lives and their career path in a way that you go, hey, I identify with that. I want to be like that. Connect with them and continue to foster that relationship. Ask questions, but also ask how you can still be involved with opportunities that they're involved with. Whether they do or don't end up working with you at the same organization too, you want to keep in touch with those mentors along your own career path, because you never know where they're going to end up. You never know where you're going to end up. And people that you look up to, they continue to live their lives and they continue to gain more and more experience down their own roads and their own journeys too. So for me, it's just been really important, you know, write a handwritten note to a mentor that you met back when you were a freshman or a senior or a junior, and see what they're up to in their world. And they will really, really appreciate that you're reaching out to them over the course of your years as well. So mentors, that's kind of my big thing.
I think that's a great one. And I think it speaks to like how small the sports industry is as a whole, because my dad will use like, oh, that's the 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon or whatever. That's a funny thing. I always think like with sports, you're like 1 to 2 degrees, 2 degrees different, if that.
So true. You know? So true. How about you? What would you say? I mean,
my biggest piece of advice would be, especially if you're like a junior, but even if you are a senior in college, like you're in college, like every single college I know of has like a sports realm. Like, so take advantage of what's on campus.
Right.
If you're going to graduate this semester and you're in the spring, you're like, well, there's no way I get an internship now. It's like, no, just go job shadow somebody. Like,
so true.
You know what everyone hates doing? Talking about themselves and like having people learn from them and having somebody like carry the box of papers they didn't want to for like one day. Like, no one hates that, right? Everyone's like, oh man, somebody wants to come hang out with me for a day.
Right.
That's cool.
Right.
No matter like what level you are, some people can be like super busy.
Yeah.
But like you can always ask someone to coffee or whatever and take advantage of those times too.
Right. So true. That's so key too. And I think, don't freak out if you're a senior and you don't know exactly, you know, what it is you're going to do yet. There's time. There's definitely time.
Yeah. I mean, and on like the mentor-mentee part of it.
Yeah.
What would you, I mean, you probably are mentoring a couple or you're a mentee for a couple. I mean, what would you say is the best advice you'd have of being a mentor or a mentee?
Yeah. I would say, what's really important, even for me, for my mentors, for people that are my boss or have authority over me, what's really important to be a good mentor is to lead by example. I think it's great if you have a way with words and you can convey a positive spirit and, you know, lead a team by being aspirational in what you say. But I think leading by example and jumping into the trenches, like with your sales team and, you know, demonstrating a cold call or jumping in the mix and taking part in role play and showing your team, you know, that you're right there with them and that you're not afraid to put yourself out there. That goes a long way with a sales team or it has with me if I'm the one that's, you know, under a boss or a mentor of mine. So I've always appreciated that, you know, kind of action oriented leadership that, you know, you demonstrate how you want, you know, your team to work and what you want them to do, what you want them to say. So I've always appreciated that from the mentors that I look up to. I try to do that as well, obviously. You know, I would hope a good thing or two has rubbed off on me. I think to be a good mentee, you know, or for someone that's, you know, looking for advice from a mentor, I would say, obviously, ask a lot of questions. Don't ever lose that curiosity. I think once you do, once you lose that, it's kind of that goes hand in hand with the passion and the drive for wanting to continue down in this career path. So continue to be curious. When you have a thought, when something comes to you, when you have a desire to learn about something, you know, jot it down and then go contact somebody and try to figure it out. Express that curiosity as a mentee and reach out to folks, because like you just said, we want to tell you about it, we want to talk about it, and we want to share our experiences with you. So I think those two things go hand in hand, mentor to mentee. But how about you? Is there like a mentor of yours that sticks out and you're like, man, I'll always look up to them for reasons X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, there's the mentor I have who's actually a little bit younger than I am, but I graduated college like 2 years after he did, and then he had already been working for the Padres in college.
Yeah.
And so he'd been working for the team for longer than I had. And then we're set up like as a mentor-mentee program, which is great.
Thing that is the Padres great.
Do for inside sales reps. But the main thing I took away was just be honest and like upfront with everyone. Like,
that's great.
The worst thing by far and away, and this hasn't ever happened to me, but I've heard stories of like someone going, oh no, hey, there's a spot for you here later on. Like, keep working hard, keep whatever. But instead, just be very transparent.
Yep.
Like, just, we've all worked in sports now for like at least a little bit. Or even if you just start inside sales and you're like fresh out of college, you'll hear stories in like a month.
So true.
Where you're like, oh, okay, you know what? Like, I can, maybe I should take this as a little bit of advice or whatever.
Right.
And on the mentee side, like, just don't be afraid to follow up.
Yep.
Like, how many times is it where, okay, cool. Like, there's somebody who wrote me an email a couple of days ago and was like, hey, Calvin, just want to say, like, thanks for speaking to Sports Management Club back in Oklahoma State, doing this, whatever. And then I forgot to reply. Like, I literally just, like, had a couple things going on over the weekend.
You
I
read just it, register, kind of just forget to type something back.
Oh, yeah, just had a new job, you know, all that stuff.
Been a little
just
going
through a lot of different stuff. And then I'm like, wait, today I need to respond. And then, of course, he sent me an email, just not being afraid to follow up and be like, hey, just
love that.
Just still curious if you have a call, time to chat for 15 minutes or so, if you're free, you know, that type of stuff. I'm like,
persistent.
Thanks so much. Like, thanks so much for sending, like, thanks for being like respectful, not going like, oh, he blew me off, never gonna talk to him again.
Right.
Or like, hey, did you read this?
Right.
That's always the like worst email to get.
Per my note below.
Yeah. Yeah. Per my last email.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, but just being respectful with everyone and also just not being, like, cannot tell you how many times I was like, wait, I sent him a text like a couple of days ago. I'm so curious if he's going to reply or not.
Right.
And then I took it personally and then all type of stuff. And then I would see the guy I'm thinking of at a game. And I'd go like, hey, did you get that?
Right.
Oh, Calvin, I'm so sorry.
I'm like, I spaced out. I forgot. I'm a busy person. And you're, that's okay. I understand.
Well, also like when you're in college or when you've like just graduated, a lot of people are not married with kids or like managers of multiple people or whatever.
True. Right.
So you're thinking, oh wait, why in the heck do they not get back to me? They must hate me.
No, it's like, not never. At all. Yeah. No.
Their wife needs something from on the way home from the grocery store. That's when you texted them and they're going to reply.
Right.
They're going to reply when they stop driving, but then they got home. You know, like it's never that easy.
It's not personal either. So that's a good one though. No, I think that's really good advice to a mentee, you know, to don't be afraid to reach out multiple times and demonstrate that you're really interested because it's so easy to just give it a little try and walk away from it. So I think that's really sound advice as well.
Yeah, I think it's kind of opposite of like the client approach. You'll have like a client be like, it's been an hour. What's going on?
Right.
And you're like, okay, Hank, I'm so sorry. Like, I had to ask somebody else about this question that you had.
Right.
I don't know the answer. Yep. That's why I didn't give you the answer.
Right,
like,
right. Yeah.
But like, give me 24 hours to get back to you.
Right.
But
then
on the other side, you have somebody who's a mentor or mentee going like, okay, it's been 2 days. It's like, all right, well then just follow up with them again.
Right.
Like, don't feel bad about doing that whatsoever.
No, that's good. That's really good advice. So I remember that too. That's good stuff.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, so what made you think of, hey, you know what? Like Daktronic stuff is great, right? But what made you think, oh, you know what? Like say, I want to do a sales arm versus just being on air. I mean, we're talking about this a little before we recorded or just, you know, what made you kind of go, this is what I connect with most?
Yeah, great question. And for me, it was during my job in Texas. I was actually hired to be on the corporate partnership side, but more on the account services side. So basically they hired me to go out into the town and kind of foster these relationships of pre-existing sponsorship accounts, right? Essentially get in your car, drive about town, go see the customer, talk with them, talk about the partnership that already exists and what they might want to do. And I did that for the first time. It was kind of me on my own repping our team. And I went, ooh, I really like the relationship side of this. I'm really enjoying representing our team, meeting with these people, discussing, you know, the existing relationship and what we can do. And I thought, you know what? I'm loving this. I'm seeing opportunities where I can upsell and change accounts. And I'm like, I really think I could sell and do this with brand new prospects. So I went back to our leadership team, you know, felt comfortable enough to do so and said, I really love my account management role. I'd like to sell. Would you guys be willing to give me the opportunity to manage accounts. I'll service these accounts. I'll make sure everything happens. But can I sell too? And they were like, okay, you know, we'll give you a sales goal and a hurdle. You won't make commission until you reach this number of NB, of new business accounts. And I said, okay. Minor league baseball, so all things scale. I think it was like an $130,000 sales goal. I think I made $19 commission my first year, but the best $19 that I ever made.
Oh, by far and away. Got to be.
Two reasons. One, it was like, heck yeah, I made 130 grand. Like, for this team, this is so cool. I feel so accomplished. And then B, it was like, I can do this, you know, I can sell. I like this. And I think this is where I want my career to go for, you know, the rest of my sports career. And fast forward, I don't know, 4 or 5 years now, and I haven't looked back and I've really enjoyed it. It's been challenging. But I think what originally just kind of sparked my love and interest in it was being able to work with people and turn relationships into really valuable partnerships that were mutually beneficial. So that was my journey. How about you?
Yeah, mine's kind of two-faced. So okay. Like during COVID, I like rethought this because okay. Basically right when I graduated, I was like, you know what? I want to work in sports. I want to work for a team. Mm-hmm. I want to like not necessarily have to rely on like a news station or just, you know, some type of person going, hey, that sounds, you know, Taco Tuesday. That's been played out. You know, I didn't want to have to like answer to that or whatever. Totally. And instead I was like, you know what? I kind of want to be able to like go in, work for a team. And then whatever I put in is what I get out.
Right.
And then during COVID, it was much more of that. It was like, you know what? Like, do I really want to do this? Like a lot of like double thinking. And then at the end of the day, I was like, you know what? No, I really do want to do this because if I fail, it's on me.
So true.
Which is kind of, you know, can be a double-edged sword, of course.
Indeed.
But at the same point, like, I know that if I mess something up, all right, like I can figure out a way to fix it too.
So true.
Like I can redo it. I can whatever. It's not like, oh my gosh, like I put like a word in here wrong that doesn't sound good on a flyer or brochure and then I've got to redo it 6 times.
Right.
Because it just didn't fit what somebody else thought it would do well whenever I think it's fine.
Right.
And then instead it's like, no, I think this would be a great theme game night.
Right.
Oh, I can put it all together. I can sell it. I can go out with it. Or now it's like, no, I think these are the best two seats we have in the entire stadium. I'm going to try to sell them. And then if somebody hates them, okay, cool. I'll call somebody else.
Right.
You know?
Did you ever, I mean, obviously, maybe I'm answering this question before I'm even asking it, but did you ever miss any of the side of being on like more the broadcasting game production side when you went to the sales side? And then maybe is that why you do things like this now? Or did you have a little period of like, oh man, I kind of miss that department?
Yeah, I do miss it from time to time, mm-hmm. for sure. Because it's like, all right, like the podcasting thing for me is a hobby at the end of the day. Yeah. Like this is a fun thing that I like doing. I like, it's usually catching up with friends and talking with them. And then kind of, you know, I mean, with a couple roommates, it's been, oh, let's talk about Big 12 football. Like this is one of the first podcasts or a couple of the first where it's been like how to work in sports and look more professional.
Yeah.
But then again, the other side of it too is like, yeah, but I've heard stories where like, okay, I could have gone to like, work in a small town in Texas, graduated from college. And I just, after going for college for 6 years, like, you know what? No, like I immediately want to like have like a successful like place that I live or like a cool thing that I do for a living or whatever. And I never really loved the, hey, it's part of your production degree. We need you to go to Stillwater High School football games and then start interviewing players on the sidelines afterwards with a video camera. Mm-hmm. And also, oh, you didn't get that shot? You had one chance at it? You didn't get it? Wait, what do you mean you didn't
pressure,
get it?
Yep.
And I'm like, I was running to the other side of the stadium to try to get it.
Yeah,
like,
I'm sweating because I was standing in the Texas
seat. It was so much anxiety, so much pressure.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, I said 10 wrong words on a phone call. Well, all right, I'm going to call somebody else because they probably aren't going to buy anyways, or I can chalk it up to whatever.
Right. Oh, that is the beauty of sales. There's some rejection involved in it, like no other department. But I mean, these are my dad's words, but every no gets you closer to a yes. And you have a lot of opportunities to turn that frown upside down. Oh my gosh, I'm so cheesy.
Oh, no, but I mean, like we've all heard those terms. Oh yeah,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, a lot of chances to kind of, you know, you're right. Your career and your success is very much in your hands. So you got to hold yourself accountable. You were right about saying that. But at the end of the day, you know, sales can be incredibly rewarding. And if you work hard, you can essentially attain that feeling almost every day on the job. So.
Yeah. And it's a great thing when I know if I've done a good job or not.
Yeah.
Like I can put together like a great video.
Right.
I can put it out there.
People
can go, great video, awesome, like, well done, you know, a bunch of likes, whatever, can do like a bunch of numbers, or I can like sell something that's worth a lot of money.
That's right.
And then I can go, okay, well, I know what I sold was like definitely a good thing.
Right.
This video, like, there's always going to be people who are like, oh, he could have sold them higher or lower. And there's always people who can have said, oh, you made a better video or whatever.
Right.
There's always room for improvement. Yeah. But the room for improvement side is generally a little bit less on the sales side of it.
And too. In sales, you know exactly from a monetary perspective how you are contributing to the organization. Not trying to say that videos and content isn't incredibly valuable, and there are ways to evaluate, you know, how much each post and whatnot is worth. But when you're selling, you're reminded every day of your contribution to the organization, which can be a really motivating factor. So.
Oh yeah. And I think a huge part of it too is just the pride.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, yeah, go. No, I sold like Carrie and I sold that. Joe and I sold Melinda and I sold whoever, like, and they love coming out to games. Yep. They're sending me referrals. And then you've of course got the other side of it where people are just like, one to drive a knife through the back of you, but that's going to happen no matter what you do in any job. I just say the cool part about being in sales or doing that is that you do like look forward to those relationships.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's so not true. Just the coworkers or just whatever. And yeah, it would be cool if like Justin Herbert and I were best buds, but
you're not.
No, unfortunately, you know what? I just still can't figure out why. Yeah, I can't figure out why. Yeah. He didn't go to the same college as me. He's not from the same area of the country.
Yeah.
But never became great friends.
It's never too late. You know, you never know. Yeah. Maybe you guys will be eating at the same place one day. It's
maybe by far and away.
Yeah.
I mean, I won't forget like when I was inside sales with the Padres, my dad called up one day and he goes, hey, you know the Padres are playing in the Rangers this year in Texas, right? It's like, oh yeah. And he goes, so are you going to the game? No, I will not be. And then later on, he laughs a little bit and he's like, I know, you know, I'm just giving a hard time. Like, but you're not traveling with the team?
Yeah, you're not on the bus?
No, I'm not. I'm not traveling with Will Myers because at the time it was Will Myers, not Machado yet. But I'm not going with the team.
Dad, actually, I don't have a uniform.
Oh, yet. Yeah, I'm not on the team.
I'm actually not the backup catcher, but common mistake.
Yeah. And the other big deal, too, is like if they actually like, needed somebody, it's like, oh, they're not going to call you? And I'm like, no, but
there's actually three minor league teams underneath them that they'll probably pull from, but you're ready.
Oh,
you'd do it.
I would try my best.
Same.
Would definitely like be out there. I'd be running full, like dead sprint to first. Sure. I get thrown out by a mile and a half because I'm not an athlete, but like all of us would be. Oh yeah. Yeah. I would not be afraid to like step in and take some at bats.
Yeah.
Knowing full and well, like I would not even see the pitch as it's coming across the plate.
All good. Respect, though. Very cool.
Well, as we kind of wrap this up, do you have any other advice for those who are currently, like, working in sports, like you or myself, who, like, hey, you know what? Like, now I'm an account executive or I'm an inside sales or whatever, and I want to get to the next step or just, like, I want to, like, keep progressing here? What should I do?
I think what's helped me personally in my career, I think it's overlooked sometimes because it is something that you can't really quantify, but I think attitude is really, really important. You know, they always ask you, like, what would your peers say about you? How would your peers describe you? I would hope that my teammates and my clients and my boss would describe me as someone that comes to the office with the same consistent positive attitude every day. I think that makes me an enjoyable person to be around and work with and support from an organizational standpoint. And then also I hope that my clients feel that way too. So my advice is if you're an AE, or if you just got promoted to a manager or you were eyeing that director position and they passed you over and you didn't get it, try to stay positive. Find a reason to look at that glass half full because, you know, if you look around, we touched on it earlier, we are pretty lucky to be able to do what we do, to work in this industry, to be able to deliver these products and experiences. So I think keep a positive attitude, find something every day to be grateful and to appreciate. And like I said, whether you feel like it's being recognized or not, I can tell you it is. And like I said, it may not be quantifiable, but staying positive and being somebody that people like to work around really will help you in the long run. And should that be a consideration if it's you and someone else for that next promotion, guaranteed if you had that can-do attitude, they're going to choose you next time. So that would be my advice. How about you? Anything else that you...
I could not echo that more. Okay. I mean, I think at the end of the day, like, yeah, your attitude is going to bring you the most success.
Yeah.
You and I've both worked for teams that have not had a ton of success. And then we've gone to teams that, you know, who doesn't want to buy Olympic tickets, right?
Like,
who doesn't want to buy Chargers tickets?
Right.
But we've previously worked for teams where, like, the attitude's been harder. Because it's like, oh, I'm selling a team that's like, you know, at the time, like rebuilding or is on the come up or whatever.
Yeah.
But if you can have that attitude and just really, if I'm adding on to it, surround yourself with others who have the same attitude you want to have.
So true.
Because like, I cannot say how much that before COVID, I'd be like the guy who was going, we have to be here till the seventh inning.
Right, you've got to be kidding me. Right. It's only the third inning. It's been 3 hours.
Or oh my gosh, we have to be here tomorrow after the third quarter. Like, oh my gosh.
Right.
And then during COVID, it was a little time for reflection, a little time to like rethink about it and go.
I miss the ballpark.
Oh, like I get. And it's yeah, okay. You know, you work like a 12-hour day in sports. Like no one's happy in the 11th hour. Let's be honest.
True.
But I also want to say like, I'm still happy to go to work the next day. So like,
true. Right.
One day can be bad, but not every day can. So and true. it's good to keep in that like attitude and perspective.
Yeah.
Maybe that's a good way to
that is
good way to phrase it for sure. Yeah.
No, that's good stuff. Good stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, well, we covered a lot.
We did. Well, thank you so much for joining here on
my pleasure.
The CGA Tour. Where can people just find you on LinkedIn?
Yeah.
I mean, what's the best like way to find you if people are like, you know, want to hear more from Diana?
I'm active on LinkedIn. I post all my sports travels on my Instagram. So you can totally find me on Instagram, Diana Sleep. I will pop up right away, but I'm always posting about where I am and I do get to travel quite a bit. So yeah, and don't be afraid to reach out. Like Calvin said, be persistent, reach out. I'd love to talk to you. So
for sure.
And again, congratulations to you.
Thanks so much.
Day one. Thank you. Starting with a bang. Good for you. Really excited for you and to see everything that you accomplished. So congrats. Thanks so much.
Yeah, I will tell people frequently, this is the first day that counted. Several other days have counted for this project. But this is the first day that counted.
Day one, baby.
Yes, of course. So please follow at the CGA Tour on Twitter and Instagram for more. And catch you more on the next episode.
Done?
All done. Yeah.
Good job. Nice. How do we sound? Good? Like profesh?